In the time of King Herod, wise men from the east came to the city of Jerusalem and proceeded to go all around town to all the local hot spots, telling stories about a star that had risen, which symbolized the birth of a child so important that they had set out from their distant homes, traveling over ancient deserts, just to honor him, even though they didn't know who or where he was. The king in this story was a jealous and a fearful man, and he made a point of keeping up with local gossip. So when he heard tell of these wise stargazers who were going all about all the local bars spreading rumors of a child so blessed that they would risk an unimaginable journey just to see his face, he knew he was in trouble. After all, there can only be one king, right? One object of such devotion. So he called these wise men to him. He brought them to his mighty palace, and he said, "Go to this place, this Bethlehem, where you say this star points, and come back here and tell me exactly where it is, so that I can go, as you will, and venerate this child too." But the wise men are not called wise for nothing. They smell a rat. And the story goes on to say that once they followed that star to where it points, once they see this child and they give him their gifts and they receive great hope and wonder in return, they leave town by a different road. And that jealous king never does rule over that baby. And the powers of his crown never do triumph over the powers of a child sleeping quietly, waiting for the whole wide world to open up before him. This narrative is an integral part of the story of the Christmas season. It's a story of strangers from afar and a king so threatened by their journey and their hope that he would lie and cheat and kill because anything in the world worth anticipating that much had to be a threat to him and to the status quo he held so dear. Just because anything worth searching for had to be a danger to all those like him who would rather keep things just as they are, rather than open the door for even a little bit of transformation. This old, old story, as related uniquely in the Gospel of Matthew, tells us of events where the typical players in the Christmas drama have very small roles, if any roles at all. In this story, Mary says nothing. Joseph isn't even mentioned. And the tiny baby lying in a manger does nothing but that, lie in a manger, being all beatific and beautiful and anticipated. The main players in this part of the story, mentioned nowhere else in the entirety of Scripture, are strangers from afar. They are neither Jew nor Christian, especially since that latter designation had no meaning in such days. They are neither saints nor sinners. And contrary to the legends that built up around them over these 2,000 years, they are not likely even kings of some exotic land. They are wanderers. Travelers upon an uncertain road, moved for one brief moment in time to set out toward something they didn't even know where to find. Something that at the end of all their journeying they hoped would give them peace and stop them in their tracks. The Magi, the wise men, the travelers from the east, they are bit players in the drama of the Christmas season, and yet their journey has something to share with us today, here in the midst of our own wanderings, here on the journeys of our lives. There are all sorts of ways in which scholars and scientists and everybody else have sought to explain this story and identify these travelers. The star may have been Halley's Comet or some conglomeration of many stars. The wise men may have been Zoroastrian priests or simply astrologers from Persia. But the facts or lack thereof of this story matter little in the long run. What matters is the persisting underlying theme that challenges us even today. Whether the wise men existed or not, whether there was ever a star to follow or a babe in a manger, what I want to know from these characters is deeper than the facts can tell us. What I want to know is not whether they existed or they followed a star, but what it would be like if they did. What it would be like if any of us had the courage to do the same, to anticipate something or someone so powerfully that we would risk it all, just as they did. This holiday season, I want to know what it felt like to leave home and not know where you were going. To travel to a distant land and end the journey by falling on one's knees before something so pure and so lovely that it gives meaning to the whole journey that precedes it and purpose to the whole stretch of time that follows it. I want to know what it's like to follow a star, to see a sign of something so bright and beautiful that you can't help but move your feet in its direction, even if you have no idea where exactly it might lead. I want to know what it's like to believe so deeply in a different world that you can't help but guide your feet toward it. What was the last thing that set your feet moving on an unknown road? When was the last time you imagined a goal, a dream, a destination so powerful that it set you moving on a path of transformation? What do you yearn for enough to risk everything for? The very act of anticipation and the presence of in one's heart of a yearning strong enough to even start a journey implies some hope that what one longs for is possible, imaginable, worth dreaming about. As Sister Joan Chittister has said, a soul that longs for something is a soul that is growing, one way or another, smaller or larger. What have your longings done to your life and its horizons? Broadened them or crippled them, she asks. The wise men left home because they hoped beyond all logic that what they longed for, that which broadened their lives and the meaning of their lives, would be what they met at the end of their journey. Why else would any of us leave home? Leave our comfortable status quo, our convenient lives, our complacent hearts. Why else would any of us journey at all, or risk it all, or anticipate anything whatsoever, unless we had hope beyond all logic that something lies at the end of all of our longing, and just staying put never was an option? The wise men to me are a symbol of all those who have faith enough to seek out a changed world and then actually go about trying to find it. They saw a path toward something new and they followed it. They took the risk. They followed a star, and in so doing, they came face to face with all of the powers of the world that would have them stop dead in their tracks, stop looking for a reason to hope, stop believing in a transformed world at all. Isn't that what Herod is in this story? He's nothing more or less than a symbol of the status quo, a force that stops change, a symbol of all those then and now, inside our hearts and in every nation, who would have this world remain exactly as it is, in the power of whomever happens to be mighty today, structured so that the night will truly remain silent and the new dawn will be much like every dawn before it. Edward Erickson reflected on what Herod symbolizes in this story when he wrote, "If, as Herod, we fill our lives with things and things again, if we consider ourselves so important that we must fill every moment of our lives with action. When will we have the time to make the long, slow journey across a burning desert, as did the Magi? Or to sit and watch the stars, as did the shepherds? Or to brook over the coming of a child, as did Mary? For each one of us, there is a desert to travel, a star to discover, and a being within ourselves to bring to life. For each of us, there is a journey that awaits, a longing worth following, and a new beginning that only we can bring about. For each of us, perhaps, there is a star to follow. And if we spend our lives maintaining what we have, seeking and claiming what we think we deserve, when will we have the chance to make our own courageous journey? When will we ponder the end result of all of our yearning? Christmas, for all of its pageantry of flurry and its beribboned consumerism, is based upon a story of transformation. It's based upon a story about a child who wielded more power than a king and a new life that possessed all the potential in the universe and wise men who came to kneel, not necessarily before God, but before a reason to hope and a reason to believe that this world might actually become a different and better place than it is today. Though we are constantly forgetting it, Christmas is fundamentally about what can be triumphing over what is. It's about daring to hope that the things we long for are possible. And what better symbol of everything we hope for, of everything that can be, than a baby? Pure potential, bright and new, the object of all of our anticipation, a baby who can do and be anything at all, including everything we ourselves dream of. It's about the faith of the Magi who threw their lot in whole cloth with the possibility of a future rather than the power and the might of the present. This season, we kneel at the cradle of a child, just as the wise men did. Not because that child would go on to bear the theological burdens of centuries and become a myth as much as a man, but because for this short time in this story, the baby Jesus is just that, a baby. And we UUs are fond of reminding ourselves that each night a child is born is a holy night. It is holy precisely because each new child and thus each new beginning is capable of bringing about change and beauty and wonder in this world. Each night a child is born is holy precisely because it can bring about change we cannot yet imagine. And Christmas at its heart is about the birth of the baby. It's about transformation. It's about how we, like the Magi, can even for a moment dare to believe that transformation is possible at all. Of course, most of you know that John and I are expecting our new baby any day now, really. Our lives give a whole new meaning to this season of expectation this year. And the longing I know today is much more concrete than it has ever been in the Advent season before. I am quite convinced that, like the Magi, I would go on any journey at all just for the chance to see the face of a child. I would travel quite a multitude of deserts to meet the one whom I eagerly await. And in her birth will be for me the birth of new hope and big dreams and inevitable transformation. I have no doubt that a child is worth risking everything for, and I have no doubt that some light from the proverbial star rests above every newborn baby, including mine. When the Magi knelt at the foot of the manger, they might have hoped for a world in which Herod would not wield his mighty hand, in which Jew and Gentile might peacefully coexist, in which the might of Rome and the burdens of empire would not fall on the shoulders of the poor and the hungry. They might have hoped that their families would thrive, that their broken hearts would be healed, that their despair would be lifted. Who knows? They might have hoped for any number of things. The point is that in the face of a child and the turning of the year, they found reason enough to think that their hopes might come to fruition. Reason enough to drop to their knees in awe. I hope for my child all sorts of things. Perhaps the same things that the gospel writer hoped for when he penned this tale of weary travelers bent in praise of new life. I hope for a transformed world, a world in which the mighty might actually be occasionally overcome by the meek, in which innocent children would be more powerful than kings, in which the status quo might crumble underneath the power of peace. I hope that my child has the chance to fail and succeed and try again. I hope she longs for things and sets out to find them, and I hope that she has the courage to be reborn, even as something quite different than she was the day before. Will these things happen in her lifetime? Will next Christmas bring a more peaceful world than this one? Will the next century be less bloodstained than the last one? Perhaps. Perhaps not. I don't know. But I long for these things. I anticipate them enough to seek after them in my own small and fragile ways, and I need to be reminded of that longing. That's why Christmas has to come every single year. That's why the story has to be retold. Because we yearn for the same things that the travelers across the ages have yearned for, because we're always following a star, and it might never stop pointing onward. Because we may get tired, complacent, and cynical, and end up abandoning our journeys and our hopes bit by bit, concerned more with being comfortable than with being what we long for ourselves to be. Because we need reminding, and the journey of the Magi has not yet ceased, and the jealousy of Herod lives in this world every bit as it did all that time ago. Because even now, after the entirety of human history, rife with faults and failures, even now, in this time of year, we must challenge ourselves to believe that what we long for is possible, that our anticipation might just reap rich rewards, that each child is a new beginning, and nothing in this world is more miraculous than that. For each of us, there is a desert to travel, a star to discover, and a being within ourselves to bring to life. Let us then go about the good work of seeking out all we long for in this season of bright anticipation. May it be so.